A gleaming golden shield with the letters WB in its centre emerges from misty clouds as snowflakes fall. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A large golden V with interconnecting Vs inside it emerges from a snow cloud. Village Roadshow Pictures. A large factory looms out of the mist and snow. It has a very tall brick chimney tower surrounded by smaller, thinner ones. A spiralling ridge with tiny window slats runs from the bottom to the very top of the brick chimney. A Zanuck Company plane production, a Tim Burton film. Johnny Depp. Inside the dark chimney, golden letters appear over rich brown swirling chocolate. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. In the factory, the gloopy chocolate is squirted into rectangular panels on a shifting conveyor belt. Based on the book by Roald Dahl, Freddie Highmore, David Kelly, Helena Bonham Carter, Noah Taylor, Missy Pyle, James Fox. The chocolate-filled panels pass under fans and the chocolate is cooled. With Deep Roy and Christopher Lee, Adam Godley, Francisca Trogner, Anna Sophia Robb, Julie Winter, Jordan Fry, Philip Vigratz, Blair Dunlop, Liz Smith, Eileen Essel, David Morris. In the factory, a machine presses the chocolate slabs into chocolate bars with regular rectangular segments. Each bar is lifted up into the air on a shifting rack, removed from its panel casing, and flipped onto a silver tray attached to a helium balloon. These graceful white air balloons are spotlit from below as they float down through the dark factory in spiral formation. In an aerial view, the balloons resemble bubbles of cream swirling into black coffee. Casting by Susie Figgis. Visual effects supervisor Nick Davis. Music by Danny Elfman. Trap doors open in the silver trays and the chocolate bars fall face down onto squares of paper packaging on a conveyor belt below. Gleaming golden tickets are placed by hand onto some of the bars. The tickets have Wonka golden ticket printed on them. The date, February the 1st, the time, 10 a.m. sharp, and the place, front gates. And at the bottom, this golden ticket ensures admittance. Mechanical arms hanging from the ceiling wrap the packaging neatly around the chocolate bars. An inner layer of silver foil followed by the red, yellow and white outer sleeve with its swirly Wonka logo and news about the competition. The chocolate bars are transported into cardboard boxes which are sealed by machine and labelled with their various destinations. London, New York, Cairo, Tokyo. Spotlights shine down on rows of boxes moving along conveyor belts. The conveyor belts move the boxes straight into the back of a row of red Wonka vans parked in the snowy factory yard. The conveyor belts retract from the back of the red Wonka vans, which are the only spots of colour against the dark, sprawling factory and the falling snow. The tall steel factory gates swing open and the vans, which have tinted windows, follow each other out of the factory yard one by one. Leaving tracks in the snow, the vans pull out of the factory into the narrow streets of the town. A boy of about 10 stands on a snowy street corner and watches the vans drive past. He has a pale, intelligent face, short dark brown hair, and wears a chocolate-coloured jacket and trousers that are just a little bit too short in the leg.
This is a story of an ordinary little boy named Charlie Bucket. He was not faster or stronger or more clever than other children. His family was not rich or powerful or well-connected. In fact, they barely had enough to eat.
Charlie runs home.
Charlie Bucket was the luckiest boy in the entire world. He just didn't know it yet.
Charlie lives in a slanted one-room house with a steeply pitched roof on a patch of snowy ground on the outskirts of town. One night, his dad gets home to find Charlie doing his homework at the table and Charlie's four elderly grandparents in their one double bed in front of the fire.
Evening, Buckets.
Evening.
Hi, Dad.
Mrs. Bucket's at the stove.
Soup's almost ready, darling. Don't suppose there's anything extra to put in? Oh, well, nothing goes better with cabbage than cabbage.
She chops up more cabbage. Father Bucket sits down at the table.
Charlie, I found something I think you'll like.
Some misshapen toothpaste caps.
Charlie's father worked in the local toothpaste factory. The hours were long, and the pay was terrible. Yet occasionally, there were unexpected surprises.
He slips some damaged caps into his pocket.
It's exactly what I need.
What is it, Charlie?
Charlie pulls out a model of Wonka's chocolate factory made entirely of toothpaste caps.
Dad found it. Just the piece I needed.
What piece was it?
A head for Willy Wonka.
Well, how wonderful. It's quite a likeness.
You think so?
Think so? I know so. I saw Willy Wonka with my own two eyes. I used to work for him, you know.
You did?
I did.
He did?
He did.
I love grapes.
Of course, I was a much younger man in those days.
20 years ago.
Willy Wonka began with a single store on Cherry Street, but the whole world wanted his candy.
Mr. Wonka peers through some giant coloured candy.
Mr. Wonka?
Yeah?
We need more Wonka bars, and we're out of chocolate birds.
Birds? Birds? Well then, we'll need to make some more. Here.
He pops a chocolate egg into Grandpa Joe's mouth.
Now open.
There's a chocolate bird on Grandpa Joe's tongue.
The man was a genius. Did you know he invented a new way of making chocolate ice cream so that it stays cold for hours without a freezer? You can even leave it lying in the sun on a hot day and it won't go runny.
That's impossible.
But Willy Wonka did it.
15 years ago, Wonka opens the factory.
Before long, he decided to build a proper chocolate factory. The largest chocolate factory in history. 50 times as big as any other.
Wearing a long coat, a top hat, and carrying a cane, Mr. Wonka strides through the gates towards the new factory's gleaming chimneys. He turns round and salutes the crowds and the press that have gathered. In the crowd, Grandpa Joe takes off his hat and kisses Grandma Josephine on the lips.
Grandpa, don't make it gross.
Tell him about the Indian prince. He'd like to hear about that.
You mean Prince Pondicherry? Well, Prince Pondicherry wrote a letter to Mr. Wonka and asked him to come all the way out to India and build him a colossal palace entirely out of chocolate.
New Delhi, India.
It will have 100 rooms and everything will be made of either dark or light chocolate.
Willy Wonka oversees the construction of the palace.
True to his word, the bricks were chocolate and the cement holding them together was chocolate. All the walls and ceilings were made of chocolate as well. So were the carpets and the pictures and the furniture.
It is perfect in every way.
Yeah, but it won't last long. You better start eating right now.
Oh, nonsense. I will not eat my palace. I intend to live in it.
The prince and the princess are sitting in the palace.
But Mr. Wonka was right, of course. Soon after this, there came a very hot day with a boiling sun.
The princess glances warily at the ceiling as a drop of melted chocolate lands on the prince's forehead. He tastes it and starts to laugh. Then some more drips onto him. The elephant statues, the walls and ceilings start to melt away in rivulets of hot brown chocolate. Chocolate splats onto the princess, and the prince's throne tilts to one side as it melts. The prince and princess have to make a run for it as the elegantly domed ceiling caves in.
The prince sent an urgent telegram requesting a new palace, but Willy Wonka was facing problems of his own.
Going home time at the factory.
All the other chocolate makers, you see, had grown jealous of Mr. Wonka. They began sending in spies to steal his secret recipes.
A shifty-looking male employee leaves the factory for the night with the other workers. He hangs back and lets the others leave, then sidles down the street to where an equally shifty-looking man in a long dark coat is waiting. The factory man hands the other guy an envelope marked Secret Recipe, and the other guy smiles gratefully, revealing a set of rotten teeth. People mill along a bustling town street full of sweet shops.
Fickle Gruber started making an ice cream that would never melt. Prognose came out with a chewing gum that never lost its flavor. Then Slugworth began making candy balloons that you could blow up to incredible sizes. The thievery got so bad that one day, without warning, Mr. Wonka told every single one of his workers to go home. He announced that he was closing his chocolate factory forever.
I'm closing my chocolate factory forever. I'm sorry.
Grandpa Joe stands with the others as the gates lock them out. Mr. Wonka walks sadly back into the factory and closes the door. Charlie and his mum and dad sit around his grandparents' bed while they all eat their cabbage soup.
But it didn't close forever. It's open right now.
Ah, yes. Well, sometimes when grown-ups say forever, they mean a very long time.
Such as I feel like I've eaten nothing but cabbage soup forever.
Now, Pops.
The factory did close, Charlie.
And it seemed like it was going to be closed forever. Then, one day, we saw smoke rising from the chimneys. The factory was back in business.
Did you get your job back?
No. No one did.
Mrs. Bucket looks sad.
But there must be people working there.
Think about it, Charlie. Have you ever seen a single person going into that factory or coming out of it?
No. The gates are always closed.
Exactly.
But then who's running the machines?
Nobody knows, Charlie.
It certainly is a mystery.
Hasn't someone asked Mr. Wonka?
Nobody sees him anymore. He never comes out. The only thing that comes out of that place is the candy, already packed and addressed. I'd give anything in the world just to go in one more time and see what's become of that amazing factory.
Well, you won't, because you can't. No one can. It's a mystery, and it will always be a mystery. That little factory of yours, Charlie, is as close as any of us is ever going to get.
Come on, Charlie. I think it's time we let your grandparents get some sleep.
Charlie hugs them each in turn.
Good night, Grandpa George.
Good night, Charlie.
Nothing's impossible, Charlie.
Charlie gazes into the wrinkled face of his Grandma Georgina, then heads up to bed, climbing onto a dilapidated sofa to get to a wooden ladder which leads to a small bedroom in the broken rafters. He sits on his bed, then peers down into the room below.
Good night.
Good night.
Lights are switched out above and below. Lying in bed, Charlie gazes out of the broken roof at the shadowy silhouette of the chocolate factory in the distance.
Indeed, that very night, the impossible had already been set in motion.
Dozens of black-clad riders on red motorized bicycles come out of the factory onto the snowy town streets. With their single headlamps gleaming, the riders disperse around the town, down all the little streets. The riders wear black motorcycle helmets. One gets off his bike, which has a swirly W Wonka logo on the back, and sticks a poster to a lamppost. Other riders do the same throughout the town. The next day dawns, and despite the falling snow, a crowd gathers in the street around one of the posters. The factory's at the end of the street, its large chimney looming over the town. Charlie squeezes through the crowd around the lamppost to the front and reads the poster.
Dear people of the world, I, Willy Wonka, have decided to allow 5 children to visit my factory this year. In addition, one of these children shall receive a special prize beyond anything you could ever imagine.
5 golden tickets have been hidden underneath the ordinary wrapping paper of 5 ordinary Wonka bars. These 5 candy bars may be anywhere, in any shop, in any street, in any town, in any country, in the world.
In Tokyo, Japan, a sweet shop opens and crowds of children clear the shelves of Wonka bars. In Marrakesh, Morocco, customers go nuts in a crowded street market, bartering chickens and goats just to get their hands on some Wonka bars. And in a high-class store in New York, boxes of Wonka bars are arranged around a model to form her billowing skirt. Customers grab every single box, leaving the model in her underwear. Charlie's sitting on his grandparents' double bed.
Wouldn't it be something, Charlie, to open a bar of candy and find a golden ticket inside?
I know, but I only get one bar a year for my birthday.
Well, it's your birthday next week. You have as much chance as anybody does.
Balderdash. The kids are going to find the golden tickets are the ones who can afford to buy candy bars every day. Our Charlie gets only one a year. He doesn't have a chance.
Everyone has a chance, Charlie.
Mark my words. The kid who finds the first ticket will be fat, fat, fat.
In Dusseldorf, Germany, a fat boy talks to the press in his father's butcher's shop.
I'm eating the Wonka bar and I taste something that is not chocolate. A coconut, a walnut, a peanut butter, or nougat, a butter butter, or caramel, or sprinkles. So I look and I find the golden ticket.
Augustus, how did you celebrate?
I eat more candy.
Augustus opens another bar. Mrs. Gloop.
We knew Augustus would find the golden ticket. He eats so many candy bars a day that it was not possible for him not to find one.
The Bucket family watch Augustus on their old-fashioned telly.
Told you it'd be a porker.
What a repulsive boy.
Only four golden tickets left.
Now that they found one, things will really get crazy.
In a mansion in Buckinghamshire, England.
Veruca! Can you spell that for us, please?
V-E-R-U-C-A. Veruca Salt.
She's with her parents.
As soon as my little Veruca told me she had to have one of these golden tickets, I started buying up all the Wonka bars I could lay my hands on. Thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands. I'm in the nut business, you see, so I say to my workers...
Salt's factory.
Morning, ladies. From now on, you can stop shelling peanuts and start shelling the wrappers off these chocolate bars instead.
The women of Mr. Salt's workforce wear pink polka dot aprons and hats that say Salt's Nuts. They distribute boxfuls of Wonka bars between them and set about unwrapping them bar by bar. The grey-haired Mr. Salt watches from a high walkway.
3 days went by and we had no luck. It was terrible. My little Veruca got more and more upset each day.
Where's my golden ticket? I want my golden ticket!
Mrs. Salt gulps a martini.
Well, gentlemen, I just hated to see my little girl feeling unhappy like that. I vowed I would keep up the search until I could give her what she wanted. And finally, I found her a ticket.
Mr. Salt's workers are still unwrapping chocolate bars. One of them gapes and glances around as she pulls a golden ticket from one of the bars. She makes to hide the ticket as a hand grabs her wrist. She turns round to see Mr. Salt, who pulls the golden ticket from her hand. Veruca, wearing riding gear, walks down the grand hallway to her parents. Mr. Salt holds out the golden ticket and she takes it. She smiles at the ticket, then looks back up at Mr. Salt.
Daddy, I want another pony.
The Buckets watch Veruca on television.
She's even worse than the fat boy.
I don't think that was really fair. She didn't find the ticket herself.
Don't worry about it, Charlie. That man spoils his daughter, and no good ever comes from spoiling a child like that.
Mr. and Mrs. Bucket come in and smile excitedly at Charlie.
Charlie, your mum and I thought maybe you want to open your birthday present tonight.
They walk over to Charlie, who sits in the middle of his grandparents' bed. Mr. Bucket turns off the TV.
Here you are.
Mrs. Bucket hands Charlie a small parcel wrapped in a page from a comic. Charlie unwraps the parcel to find a Wonka bar. The words, Whipple Scrumptious Fudge Mallow Delight, written on the wrapper.
Maybe I should wait till morning.
Like hell. Pop. Altogether, we're 381 years old. We don't wait.
Charlie slides the foil-wrapped slab of chocolate out of its brown and white paper sleeve. His parents lean on the edge of the bed.
Now, Charlie, you mustn't feel too disappointed. You know, if you don't get the...
Whatever happens, you'll still have the candy.
Charlie carefully begins to unfold the foil from around the chocolate. Mr. and Mrs. Bucket and Charlie's grandparents all stare expectantly. The thin-faced Grandpa Joe smiles hopefully as he gazes down at the chocolate through his round, black-rimmed glasses. Charlie loosens the foil, then whips it off. A bar of chocolate, but no golden ticket. Charlie's parents exchange disappointed glances. Grandpa Joe looks philosophical.
Ah, well. That's that.
Charlie looks round at them.
We'll share it.
Oh, no, Charlie. Not your birthday present.
It's my candy bar, and I'll do what I want with it.
Grandma Josephine smiles at Grandpa Joe as Charlie breaks off chunks of chocolate for all of them. Charlie finishes handing everyone a chunk of the chocolate and takes a tiny bite of his own chunk. The rest of the family start to eat their pieces too. Grandma Josephine savours the smell of hers. Out on a snowy street corner, a gentleman in a brown felt hat throws his newspaper into a waste bin. Charlie comes along and pulls the paper out of the bin. He takes it back home where his mother's chopping up cabbage.
All right, let's see who found it.
Charlie hands the paper to his father, who reads out the headline.
The third ticket was found by Miss Violet Beauregard.
Violet, who has blonde bobbed hair and a black belt in karate, knocks out two adult black belt instructors, then strides out of a gym chewing bubblegum. The press interview Violet and her identically dressed mother in a trophy room at their home in Atlanta, Georgia.
These are just some of the 263 trophies and medals my Violet has won.
I'm a gun chewer, mostly. But when I heard about these ticket things, I laid off the gum. Switched to candy bars.
She's just a driven young woman. I don't know where she gets it.
A gum-chewing trophy.
I'm the junior world champion gum chewer. This piece of gum I'm chewing right at this moment, I've been working on for 3 months solid. That's a record.
Of course, I did have my share of trophies. Mostly baton.
So it says that one kid's gonna get this special prize. Better than all the rest? I don't care who those other four are. That kid, it's gonna be me.
Tell them why, Violet.
Because I'm a winner.
What a beastly girl.
Despicable.
You don't know what we're talking about.
Grandma Georgina's wide-eyed.
Dragonflies?
But wait, this is just in. The fourth golden ticket has been found by a boy called Mike TV.
Press journalists are at Mike TV's house in Denver, Colorado. His parents stand helplessly by as Mike continues to play his shoot-em-up computer game on a big TV screen.
All you had to do was track the manufacturing dates, offset by weather, and the derivative of the Nikkei index. A retard to figure it out.
Most of the time, I don't know what he's talking about. Kids these days, what with all the technology.
Die! Die! Die!
Doesn't seem like they stay kids very long.
Mike finishes his game and sits back.
In the end, I only had to buy one candy bar.
And how did it taste?
I don't know. I hate chocolate.
Well, it's a good thing you're going to a chocolate factory, you ungrateful little bug.
Mr. Bucket covers Charlie's ears until Grandpa George's rant is over.
That question is, who will be the winner of the last gold?
Charlie switches the TV off and smiles over at his mum, who's stirring a pot of soup.
Dad.
Yes, Charlie.
Why aren't you at work?
Oh, well, the toothpaste factory thought they'd give me a bit of time off.
Like summer vacation?
Sure. Something like that.
Mrs. Bucket gives her husband a comforting pat.
In fact, it wasn't like a vacation at all. The upswing in candy sales has led to a rise in cavities, which led to a rise in toothpaste sales.
A shiny red machine is wheeled in to put the toothpaste lids on.
With the extra money, the factory had decided to modernize, eliminating Mr. Bucket's job.
He's given his notice. Mr. and Mrs. Bucket in their snowy garden.
Barely making ends meet as it was.
You'll find another job. Until then, I'll just, I'll just thin down the soup a little more.
Charlie's watching from his bedroom.
Don't worry, Mr. Bucket. My luck will change. I know it.
She puts her arms around her husband. Charlie peers down through the broken rafters. Grandpa Joe is beckoning him downstairs. Grandpa Joe's three bedfellows are fast asleep. He fishes out a small leather wallet as Charlie comes downstairs and stands by the double bed.
My secret hoard.
A bright silver coin.
You and I are going to have one more fling at finding that last ticket.
Are you sure you want to spend your money on that, Grandpa?
Of course I'm sure. Here. Run down to the nearest store and buy the first Wonka candy bar you see. Bring it straight back and we'll open it together.
Charlie grabs his jacket with a smile and hurries out of the dilapidated house.
Such a good boy, really. Ah, such a good...
As he falls asleep, the screen fades to black.
Grandpa.
You fell asleep. Have you got it?
Charlie hands Grandpa Joe the Wonka bar.
Which end should we open first?
Just do it quick, like a band-aid.
They hold an end each, close their eyes and tear the packaging away. They open their eyes and look down. Grandpa Joe is holding the chocolate bar, but there's no golden ticket. Charlie's standing outside the chocolate factory gates in the snow. He closes his eyes and sniffs the sweet air. Two men walking a big dog and a tiny dog past Charlie.
Did you see that some kid in Russia found the last golden ticket?
Yes, it was in the paper this morning.
Good boy. Come on, George, good boy.
Charlie stares after the two men for a moment, then swallows hard and goes on his way. The factory's great chimney looms over the town, a grid of small snow-covered streets. Charlie's walking down one such street, buffeted by the winter wind in his chocolate jacket with the brown and cream plaid front and a scarf, when he spots something in the snow. It's a $10 bill, half buried in the snow, the end of it fluttering about in the breeze. Charlie's face lights up as he pulls the money out of the snow and realizes what it is. He gasps and gazes about him, then hurries to the nearest sweet shop on the corner and heads inside. There are three other customers in the shop. Charlie walks straight up to the counter.
One Wonka Whipple Scrumptious Fudge Mallow Delight, please.
The kindly shopkeeper hands him the nearest bar. A newspaper headline reads, Russian ticket of fake.
The nerve of some people.
I know. Forging a ticket, come on.
Charlie has found a golden ticket inside the wrapping of his chocolate bar. He puts the bar down and holds up the ticket, mesmerised. The shopkeeper gawps at him.
It's a golden ticket. You found Wonka's last golden ticket. In my shop too.
Listen, I'll buy it from you. I'll give you $50 and a new bicycle.
Are you crazy? I'd give him $500 for that ticket. You want to sell me your ticket for $500, young man?
That's enough of that. Leave the kid alone. Don't let anyone have it. Take it straight home. You understand?
Thank you.
Charlie smiles at the shopkeeper, grabs his change and rushes out, the ticket clenched in his hand. He runs all the way home.
Oh, Dad! I found it! The last golden ticket! It's mine!
His parents come in from the garden and gaze at Charlie in surprise. Charlie hands the golden ticket to Grandpa Joe, who holds it up in front of his long nose, peering at it through his spectacles. Grandpa Joe's eyes widen.
Yippee!
The family stare in amazement as he leaps out of bed and dances a jig.
Here. Read it aloud. Let's hear exactly what it says.
Greetings to you, the lucky finder of this golden ticket from Mr. Willy Wonka. I shake you warmly by the hand, for now I do invite you to come to my factory and be my guest for one whole day.
I, Willy Wonka, will conduct you around the factory myself, showing you everything there is to see.
Afterwards, when it is time to leave, you will be escorted home by a procession of large trucks, each one filled with all the chocolate you could ever eat.
And remember, one of you lucky five children will receive an extra prize beyond your wildest imagination. Now, Here are your instructions.
On the 1st of February, you must come to the factory gates at 10 a.m. sharp. You're allowed to bring one member of your family to look after you. Till then, William will come.
1st of February.
But that's tomorrow.
Then there's not a moment to lose, Charlie. Wash your face, comb your hair, scrub your hands, brush your teeth, blow your nose.
Get that mud off your pants.
No, we must all try and keep very calm. First thing that we have to decide is this. Who is going with Charlie to the factory?
I will. I'll take him. You leave it to me.
How about you, dear? Do you think you ought to go?
Well, Grandpa Joe seems to know more about it than we do. Provided, of course, he feels well enough.
Yippee!
No. We're not going. A woman offered me $500 for the ticket. I bet someone else would pay more. We need the money more than we need the chocolate.
Grandpa Joe's smile fades and he sits wearily back down on the double bed.
Young man, come here.
Charlie walks around the bed to Grandpa George.
There's plenty of money out there. They print more every day. But this ticket, there's only 5 of them in the whole world. And that's all there's ever going to be. Only a dummy would give this up for something as common as money. Are you a dummy?
No, sir.
Then get that mud off your pants. We've got a factory to go to.
Charlie smiles. A huge crowd has gathered in the streets in front of the chocolate factory. Charlie and Grandpa Joe are lined up with the other 4 ticket holders and their accompanying adult in front of the great steel gates. There's a line of officials keeping the crowd back. Charlie and Grandpa Joe turn and wave at Mr. and Mrs. Bucket. Veruca Salt, who wears her brown hair in ringlets, is there with her father. She gazes down the line at Violet Beauregard and her mother, who both have blonde bobbed hair and shiny gold puffer jackets on. Mike TV's there with his owlish-looking father, and Augustus, who's eating chocolate, is there with his equally chubby mother. Veruca turns to her dad.
Daddy, I want to go in.
It's 9:59, sweetheart.
Make time go faster.
Do you think Mr. Monk will recognise you?
Hard to say. It's been years.
Augustus munches his chocolate. Violet chews her gum. Mrs. Beauregard gazes at her daughter.
Eyes on the prize, Violet. Eyes on the prize.
Mr. TV glances nervously down the line at the other kids and parents. Then the factory gates swing open. A ripple of excitement passes down the line of golden ticket holders. In the crowd, Mr. and Mrs. Bucket exchange an excited look. A voice comes over a tannoy system.
Please enter.
The golden ticket holders hurry into the factory yard but linger just inside the gates. Grandpa Joe is wearing a long coat and a tweed hat.
Come forward.
They advance across the snow-covered yard.
Close the gate. Dear visitors, it is my great pleasure to welcome you to my humble factory.
They approach the front doors.
And who am I? Well?
The doors slide away and curtains part to reveal animatronic characters on a ride.
Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, the amazing chocolatier. Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, everybody give a cheer. He's modest, clever, and so smart, he barely can restrain it. With so much generosity, there is no way to contain it.
The ticket holders are rather taken aback. Augustus and his mum are enjoying the show.
Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, he's the one that you're about to meet. Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, he's a genius who just can't keep the magician.
A golden throne appears and fireworks go off. The brightly coloured animatronic figures and candy canes catch fire and start to melt. The ticket holders don't know quite what to make of the melting animatronic characters. One of the figures' eyes pops out. A man in goggle-like dark glasses with a top hat and a cane has quietly joined the ticket holders. He starts to clap.
Wasn't that just magnificent? I was worried it was getting a little dodgy in the middle part, but then that finale. Wow!
He walks up the steps in front of them.
Who are you?
He's Willy Wonka.
Really?
Everyone stares, unnerving Mr. Wonka, who has sleek mid-length copper-coloured hair and perfect white teeth.
Good morning, Starshine. The Earth says hello.
There are some confused looks. Wonka pulls out some cue cards.
Dear guests, greetings. Welcome to the factory. I shake you warmly by the hand.
He holds out a purple latex-gloved hand, then withdraws it.
My name is Willy Wonka.
Then shouldn't you be up there?
Well, I couldn't very well watch the show from up there now, could I, little girl?
Mr. Wonka, I don't know if you remember me, but I used to work here in the factory.
Were you one of those despicable spies who every day tried to steal my life's work and sell it to those parasitic copycat candy-making cads?
No, sir.
Then wonderful. Welcome back. Let's get a move on, kids.
He leads them through the smoldering entranceway.
Don't you want to know our names?
Can't imagine how it would matter. Come quickly. Far too much to see.
The front doors slide shut behind the group as they step into a long corridor.
Just drop your coats anywhere.
Wonka removes his coat and goggles, revealing a long red velvet jacket and a very pale face.
Mr. Wonka, sure is toasty in here.
What? Oh, yeah. I have to keep it warm in here because my workers are used to an extremely hot climate. They just can't stand the cold.
Who are the workers?
All in good time. Now.
He flinches as Violet hugs him.
Mr. Wonka, I'm Violet Beauregard.
Oh. I don't care.
Well, you should care, because I'm the girl who's going to win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
They're walking along a plush red carpet.
I'm Veruca Salt. It's very nice to meet you, sir.
I always thought a veruca was a type of wart you got on the bottom of your foot.
I work at Soft Loop. I love the chocolate.
I can see that. So do I. I never expected to have so much in common.
Wonka starts to move on, then turns to the boys.
You. You're Mike TV. You're the little devil who cracked the system. And you. Well, you're just lucky to be here, aren't you? And the rest of you must be there.
He almost chokes as he struggles to get the word out.
Parents.
Yeah. Moms and dads. Dad?
Wonka's face falls.
Papa.
Mr. Salt and Mrs. Beauregard stare at him. Wonka finds his gleaming smile again.
Okay, then. Let's move along.
Still wearing his top hat and carrying his cane, Wonka walks on and the others follow him down the long red carpet. Augustus turns to Charlie.
Would you like some chocolate?
Sure.
Then you should have bought some.
Violet and Veruca walk side by side.
Let's be friends. Best friends.
They exchange fake smiles and link arms. The corridor gets smaller as Wonka leads the group to a tiny door in a large circular panel at the end. Mr. TV and Mr. Salt bring up the rear.
An important room, this. After all, it is a chocolate factory.
Then why is the door so small?
It's to keep all the great big chocolatey flavor inside.
Mr. Wonka bends down to unlock the tiny door, then pushes on the circular panel, which opens up onto a magical technicolored landscape. There's a huge chocolate waterfall and a chocolate river flowing through a bright acid green meadow, which is covered in strange brightly colored plants and giant red and white toadstools. Wonka leads them in.
Now, do be careful, my dear children. Don't lose your heads. Don't get overexcited. Just keep very calm.
Grandpa Joe and the others stare in amazement at the rippling brown river, the strange glistening plants and berries, and the wonderful colours. Yellow, pink, red, green, purple, orange and blue. Violet blows a bubblegum bubble. Charlie's eyes sparkle.
It's beautiful.
What? Oh yeah, it's very beautiful.
Augustus Gloop has dropped his chocolate bar in his impatience to get to the chocolate river. The group follow Wonka up onto a grass-covered bridge.
Every drop of the river is hot melted chocolate of the finest quality.
They stop by the waterfall.
The waterfall is most important. It mixes the chocolate, churns it out, makes it light and frothy. By the way, no other factory in the world mixes its chocolate by waterfall, my dear children. And you can take that to the bank.
Wonka moves on. Grandpa Joe grins in amazement and follows the others over the bridge. A contraption lowers fat pipes down from the ceiling.
People! Those pipes suck up the chocolate and carry it away all over the factory. Thousands of gallons an hour. Yeah. And do you like my meadow? Try some of my grass. Please have a blade. Please do. It's so delectable and so darn good looking.
You can eat the grass.
Of course you can. Everything in this room is eatable. Even I'm eatable. But that is called cannibalism, my dear children, and is in fact frowned upon in most societies. Yeah. Enjoy.
Augustus is the first of the group to run off. Mr. Salt stares at Wonka with a confused frown. Wonka gazes evenly back at him, and Salt turns away. Mike's kicking a huge red candy pumpkin into pieces and stamping on its gloopy insides.
Son. Please.
Dad, you said enjoy.
Charlie's wearing brown trousers and a patterned jumper. He's reaching for a glossy red fruit when it's grabbed by Violet Beauregard. She sticks her gum behind her ear so she can eat the fruit.
Why hold on to it? Why not start a new piece?
Because then I wouldn't be a champion. I'd be a loser, like you.
She runs off. Mrs. Gloop is picking chocolates off a tree and hiding them in her bag. Her son finds marshmallow nests in another tree and stuffs handfuls of the white goo into his mouth. Mrs. Beauregard is by a giant toadstool, eating its strawberry flesh. She smiles at Mr. Salt, revealing blood-red teeth. Augustus is on his knees, stuffing green grass into his mouth. Veruca's eating a lollipop. She spots something on the far riverbank.
Daddy, look over there! What is it? It's a little person! Over there, by the waterfall.
A little man with a drill.
There's two of them.
There's more than two.
Other little people in matching red plastic jumpsuits harvest giant fruits together.
Where do they come from?
Who are they? Are they real people?
Of course they're real people. They're Oompa Loompas.
One Oompa Loompa drills a chocolate path.
Oompa Loompas?
Imported, direct from Loompa Land.
There's no such place.
What?
Mr. Wonker, I teach high school geography, and I'm here to tell
you... Well, then you'll know all about it and know what a terrible country it is.
Wonka glances back at Mr. TV. A thick jungle. Wonka, wearing a pith helmet and safari gear, appears out of the undergrowth, brandishing a machete. He sniffs some leaves.
The whole place is nothing but thick jungles infested by the most dangerous beasts in the entire world. Hornswogglers and snozwangers, and those terrible, wicked wangdoodles.
Wonka cuts his way through the vegetation. He turns to see a huge wasp-like creature, the size of a cat, flying towards him. Wonka runs, but the insect gains on him. He turns and hacks it with his machete. Wonka stares down at the insect, then studies the purple blood on his machete.
I went to Loompa Land looking for exotic new flavors for candy.
Wonka licks the blood and shudders at how awful it tastes.
Instead, I found the Oompa Loompas.
Wonka presses on through the vegetation and comes to a clearing. Dozens of spherical shacks are suspended in the air.
They lived in tree houses to escape from the fierce creatures who live below.
Wonka steps into the clearing and looks up at the tree houses.
The Oompa Loompas ate nothing but green caterpillars, which tasted revolting.
Caterpillars are mashed.
The Oompa Loompas kept looking for other things to mash up with the caterpillars to make them taste better. Red beetles, the bark of the bong bong tree, all of them beastly, but not quite so beastly as the caterpillars.
In one of the treehouses, an Oompa Loompa hands a bowl of the sludgy green squashed-up caterpillar goop to Wonka. Mm. Wonka forces a smile and laughs nervously before sticking his finger into the goo and pulling out a long, stringy green blob. The Oompa Loompa, who wears a beaded headdress with a huge feather sticking out of the top of it, smiles as Wonka gobbles down the goop, then retches a little and hands back the bowl.
But the food they longed for the most was the coca bean.
Oompa Loompas gather in a clearing and look up at some large brown beans.
An Oompa Loompa was lucky if he found 3 or 4 coca beans a year. But oh, how they craved them.
They worship a bean.
All they'd ever think about was coca beans.
The identical, clone-like Oompa Loompas celebrate around a fire. Back in the factory.
The coca bean happens to be the thing from which chocolate is made, so I told the chief.
In the chief's treehouse, Wonka uses sign language to say, "Come live in my factory. You can have all the coca beans you want. I'll even pay your wages in coca beans if you wish." The chief smiles and crosses his arms over his chest. Wonka does the same and shakes hands with the tiny Oompa Loompa. In the factory...
They are such wonderful workers. I feel I must warn you, though, they are rather mischievous. Always making jokes.
Augustus, mein Schatz, that is not a good thing you do.
Augustus drinks from the chocolate river.
Hey, little boy. My chocolate must be untouched by human hands.
Augustus overbalances and falls into the river. He flails around in the chocolate and his mother gasps.
He'll drown!
She turns to Wonka.
He can't swim! Save him!
Covered in gooey chocolate, Augustus struggles and goes under again. Wonka looks up as the contraption with the fat pipes hanging from it glides over the chocolate river. The large, clear central pipe plunges into the river and begins sucking up the chocolate. It creates a whirlpool which sucks Augustus towards it. Augustus spins around the edge of the whirlpool and Mrs. Gloop watches in horror as he's pulled to the centre and sucked under. He suddenly appears again, lodged halfway up the pipe. The pressure builds up behind him and he shoots upwards like a cork from a bottle. Violet watches.
There he goes.
He's heading for the top.
Call the fire brigade!
It's a wonder how that pipe is big enough.
It isn't big enough. He's slowing down. He's gonna stick.
I think he has.
Augustus is firmly wedged in the pipe.
He's blocked the whole pipe.
Charlie looks over to the other bank.
Look, the Oompa Loompas.
They're gathering up candy mushrooms and fruit.
What are they doing?
Wonka smiles.
Well, I believe they're going to treat us to a little song. It is quite a special occasion, of course. They haven't had a fresh audience in many a month.
The Oompa Loompas drop their tools and run across the bank. In single file, they run over the large grassy bridge that spans the Chocolate River. They reach the bottom section of another 3-tiered bank as more Oompa Loompas arrive and take their places on the top 2 tiers. The identical Oompa Loompas dance in unison in their red jumpsuits.
Augustus Gloop, Augustus Gloop, the great big greedy nincompoop. Augustus Gloop, so big and vile, so greedy, foul and infantile. Come on, we cry, the time is right to send him shooting up the pipe.
But don't, dear children, be alarmed.
Augustus Gloop will not be harmed. Augustus Gloop will not be harmed.
While Augustus is still lodged in the pipe, the Oompa Loompas do a marching dance. Wonka grins and bobs his head to the music. Some Oompa Loompas put on yellow swimming caps and line up on the bank. One after the other, they dive sideways into the chocolate river, then surface and do some synchronized swimming moves around the bottom of the pipe. Augustus looks down at them, helplessly. On the bank, other Oompa Loompas do a kind of tribal haka dance.
Although, of course, we must admit,
he will be altered quite a bit.
Slowly wheels go round and round,
and cogs begin to grind and pound.
This greedy poop, this mouse is here. It's loved by people everywhere. For who can hate or bear a grudge against the luscious spirit of fire?
The pressure builds up under Augustus again, sending him flying up the pipe and into the contraption. The Oompa Loompas carry on dancing while inside the contraption, Augustus desperately thumps on a window as the chocolate rises over his head. The Oompa Loompas, who have identical faces, run back across the bridge and Wonka applauds.
Bravo! Well done. Aren't they delightful? Aren't they charming?
I do say that all seemed rather rehearsed.
Like they knew what was going to happen.
Oh, poppycock.
Mrs. Gloop runs over to Wonka.
Where is my son? Where does that pipe go to?
That pipe? It just so happens to lead directly to the room where I make the most delicious kind of strawberry-flavored chocolate-coated fudge.
Then he will be made into strawberry-flavored chocolate-coated fudge. They'll be selling him by the pound all over the world.
No, I wouldn't allow it. The taste would be terrible. Can you imagine Augustus-flavored chocolate-coated Gloop? Ew, no one would buy it.
He turns away. An Oompa Loompa runs over to Wonka and stands before him. Wonka leans down.
I want you to take Mrs. Gloop up to the fudge room, okay? Help her find her son. Take a long stick and start poking around in the big chocolate mixing barrel, okay?
The Oompa Loompa crosses his arms over his chest and Wonka does the same. The Oompa Loompa bows, then strides over to Mrs. Gloop and tugs the hem of her dress. Wonka nods and the knee-high Oompa Loompa leads Mrs. Gloop away. Charlie looks up at Wonka.
Mr. Wonka?
Huh?
Why would Augustus's name already be in the Oompa Loompa song? Unless
improvisation is a parlor trick. Anyone can do it. You, little girl, say something. Anything.
Chewing gum.
Chewing gum is really gross. Chewing gum I hate the most. See? Exactly the same.
No, it isn't.
You really shouldn't mumble, because I can't understand a word you're saying.
Mike stares at him.
Now, on with the tour.
Charlie and Grandpa Joe hang at the back of the group.
Are the Oompa Loompas really joking, Grandpa?
Of course they're joking. That boy will be fine.
Once Charlie's back's turned, Grandpa Joe's confident smile fades. Wonka and the children and parents step down to the edge of the chocolate river. A huge pink longship with its prow shaped like the head of a seahorse glides towards them. On board, an Oompa Loompa rhythmically bangs a large drum, while about 9 rows of black-haired Oompa Loompas, dressed in shiny blue jumpsuits, row the longship, their oars gently cutting through the liquid chocolate. The longship comes to a halt by the smiling Wonka and his little group. The Oompa Loompas laugh. Violet.
So funny.
I think it's from all those doggone cocoa beans. Hey, by the way, did you guys know that chocolate contains a property that triggers the release of endorphins, gives one the feeling of being in love?
You don't say.
Mrs. Beauregard smiles at him.
All aboard.
Wonka laughs nervously as all the children and parents climb aboard the longship. Wonka takes a seat at the rear beside Charlie and Grandpa Joe. He waves his hand at the Oompa Loompas.
Onward!
The drummer starts to beat time and the Oompa Loompas start rowing. Wonka is jolted back slightly as the candy pink longship sets off. The longship glides down the river, passing grassy hills and strange candy flowers on the banks. Wonka dips a pink ladle into the chocolate river, then hands it to Charlie.
Here, try some of this, it'll do you good. You look starved to death.
Charlie drinks the chocolate.
It's great.
That's because it's mixed by a waterfall. The waterfall is most important. Mixes the chocolate, turns it up, makes it light and frothy. By the way, no other factory in the world.
You already said that.
Wonka stares at Veruca for a moment, then sits back and regards the children.
You're all quite short, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we're children.
Well, that's no excuse. I was never as short as you.
You were once.
Was not. Know why? Because I distinctly remember putting a hat on top of my head. Look at your short little arms. You could never reach.
Charlie looks up at Wonka.
Do you even remember what it was like being a kid?
Oh boy, do I.
Wonka's smile fades and he looks distant.
Do I?
In fact, Willy Wonka hadn't thought about his childhood for years.
A group of children wearing Halloween costumes run up a dark street and knock on the door of a house, lit up with Halloween lights. A cheerful, chubby lady answers the door, holding a basket of lollipops.
Trick or treat!
Who do we have here?
Ruthie, Veronica, Terence. And who's that under the sheet?
A boy in a head brace.
Little Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka was the son of the city's most famous dentist, Wilbur Wonka.
A shining metal nameplate reads Dr. Wilbur Wonka, DDS, dental practitioner.
Now, let's see what the damage is this year, shall we?
Little Willy, in a huge head brace attached to his teeth, sits in an armchair in front of his father. The fearsome Dr. Wonka, who has a trim grey beard and a long nose, picks up Willy's plastic pumpkin and empties its contents into a dish.
Caramels. They'd get stuck in your braces, wouldn't they?
He tosses the caramel back into the dish and picks up another item from Willy's collection.
Lollipops. What we call cavities on a stick. And then we have all this chocolate.
Little Willy listens timidly.
You know, just last week I was reading in a very important medical journal that some children are allergic to chocolate. Makes their noses itch.
Maybe I'm not allergic. I could try a piece.
Really? But why take a chance?
He leans forward and grins at Willy, flashing scary big teeth, then picks up the dish and tosses its contents into a fire. The fire blazes as little Willy watches the blue and white flames destroy all his sweets. Wonka stares as he remembers.
Mr. Wonka! Mr. Wonka! We're headed for a tunnel!
Oh, yeah. At full speed ahead!
The Oompa Loompa beats on his drum and the teams of rowers pull to and fro. Violet has a question.
How can they see where they're going?
They can't. There's no knowing where they're going.
Switch on the lights!
Lights come on and the boat rushes downwards, carried along by the chocolate river through the tunnel. Charlie smiles excitedly. Violet looks scared. The drum continues to beat rhythmically. Huge milk chocolate waves lash against the curved walls of the tunnel as the boat is tossed about. Suddenly the boat stops its rapid descent and arrives in a large cavern in which there are several circular doors, each with its own label. Wonka smiles.
People, keep an eye out. We're passing some very important rooms here.
A clotted cream door, a coffee cream door, a hair cream door. Mrs. Beauregard.
What do you use hair cream for?
To lock in moisture.
They pass a room where a cow's suspended from a harness and Oompa Loompas are cracking whips.
Whipped cream.
Precisely.
That doesn't make sense.
For your information, little girl, whipped cream isn't whipped cream at all unless it's been whipped with whips. Everybody knows that.
The glistening candy pink longship hits some chocolate rapids and hurtles downstream, the Oompa Loompa oarsmen navigating a course through a labyrinth of different tunnels and passageways. The passengers' hair billows about in the breeze and Wonka grins with delight as the boat rolls around, heading backwards for a while and swirling about. The boat sails down a long tunnel into a cavern with bright lights streaming down from the ceiling and various circular doors in the walls. Grandpa Joe and Charlie share an excited look.
Stop the boat!
I want to show you guys something.
A circular door labelled Inventing Room. Mr. Wonka leads them into the Inventing Room, which is a modern-looking laboratory crammed full of experimental equipment. Colourful liquids bubble away in glass flasks and steam issues from weird and wonderful machines.
Now this is the most important room in the entire factory. Now, everyone enjoy yourselves, but just don't touch anything. Okay? Go on, let's go.
Violet joins Mike at a window in the side of a water tank. Red and white balls the size of golf balls shoot through the water and an Oompa Loompa in a diving suit and flippers is collecting them from the bottom.
What's this?
Oh! Let me show you.
The Oompa Loompa surfaces with a ball.
Thank you. These are everlasting gobstoppers. They're for children who are given very little allowance money. You can suck on it all year, and it'll never get any smaller. Isn't that neat?
It's like gum.
No. Gum is for chewing. And if you tried chewing one of these gobstoppers, you'd break all your little teeth off.
They sure do taste terrific.
Wonka wanders off with the red gobstopper and Violet and her mother exchange a look. Wonka picks up a big chunk of toffee.
And this is hair toffee. You suck down one of these little boogers, and in exactly half an hour, a brand new crop of hair will start growing out all over the top of your little noggin. And a mustache, and a beard.
Who wants a beard?
Well, beatniks for one, folk singers and motorbike riders. You know, all those hip, jazzy, super cool, neat, keen, and groovy cats. It's in the fridge, Daddy-O. Are you hep to the jive? Can you dig what I'm laying down? I knew that you could slide me some skin, so brother.
He holds out his latex-gloved hand. Mike ignores it.
Unfortunately, the mixture isn't quite right yet, because an Oompa Loompa tried some yesterday and, well...
An Oompa Loompa arrives with long brown hair covering his face and trailing on the ground.
How are you today?
A double thumbs up.
You look great.
Another Oompa Loompa tips a wheelbarrow full of junk into one of the machines.
Watch this.
Wonka pulls a lever and a huge machine springs into life. Orange lights flash, liquid bubbles in round tanks, and steam shoots out of it. Wonka runs excitedly round to the front of the machine, followed by the others, who wait to see what's going to be produced. A silver arm protrudes from the front of the machine, unfolding in segments to produce a stick of gum. Wonka grins excitedly. Violet grabs the gum.
You mean that's it?
Do you even know what it is?
It's gum.
Yeah. It's a stick of the most amazing and sensational gum in the whole universe. Know why? Because this gum is a full three-course dinner all by itself.
Mr. Salt looks at Wonka.
Why would anyone want that?
Wonka pulls out some cue cards and reads an answer.
It will be the end of all kitchens and all cooking. Just a little strip of Wonka's magic chewing gum, and that is all you will ever need at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This piece of gum happens to be tomato soup, roast beef, and blueberry pie.
It sounds great.
It sounds weird. Sounds like my kind of gum.
Violet takes her gum out and puts it behind her ear.
I'd rather you didn't. There's still one or two things that are...
I'm the world record holder in chewing gum. I'm not afraid of anything.
Wonka shrugs as Violet starts to chew the fresh gum.
How is it, honey?
It's amazing! Tomato soup! I can feel it running down my throat!
Yeah, spit it out.
Young lady, I think you'd better...
It's changing. Roast beef with baked potato, crispy skin and butter.
Keep chewing, kiddo. My little girl's gonna be the first person in the world to have a chewing gum meal.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned about the...
Blueberry pie and ice cream!
That part.
What's happening to her nose?
A bluey purplish stain is spreading across it.
Turning blue.
Your whole nose has gone purple.
What do you mean?
The color's spreading.
Violet, you're turning violet. What's happening?
Well, I told you I hadn't quite got it right, because it goes a little funny when it gets to the dessert. It's the blueberry pie that does it. I'm terribly sorry.
Wonka ducks out of sight and the others back away from Violet, whose hands and hair are turning blue.
Mother? What's happening to me?
Violet gazes anxiously down at her body as it starts to swell up and turn blue all over. Mrs. Beauregard watches open-mouthed. Violet staggers as her backside puffs up.
She's swelling up.
Wonka pops up again and grimaces as Violet's cheeks swell and she starts to grow bigger and rounder, her head now a tiny little blob, sinking into the gigantic blue blob that is her body. Violet towers over the others. Wonka pops up beside her mother.
I've tried it on like 20 Oompa Loompas and each one ended up as a blueberry. Just weird.
But I can't have a blueberry as a daughter. How is she supposed to compete?
You could put her in a county fair.
Mrs. Beauregard scowls at Veruca. The machine sounds make a kind of industrial music. Oompa Loompas in shiny black jumpsuits with swirly goggles on and stripy socks dance in front of Violet and along walkways above their heads.
Listen close.
listen hard. Little Violet Beauregard,
this gentle girl, she sees the road.
Chewing, 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 chewing.
The Oompa Loompas do a synchronized step routine. Wonka links his fingers and undulates his arms in time to the electric boogaloo. As the Oompa Loompas on the ground roll Violet across the floor, three others jump onto her body and do 70s disco dancing moves.
Touches like a violin.
Three more Oompa Loompas jump onto Violet and bounce onto each other's shoulders to form a pyramid. Wonka jigs to the music as the Oompa Loompas leap off Violet and start to push her towards the door. Mrs. Beauregard approaches Mr. Wonka as Violet reaches the circular door and calls out. Mrs. Beauregard glowers at Wonka, who stops grooving to the music.
I want you to roll Miss Beauregard into the boat and take her along to the juicing room at once, okay?
The juicing room? What are they going to do to her there?
They're going to squeeze her, like a little pimple. We got to squeeze all that juice out of her immediately.
Mrs. Beauregard steps through the door and helps push Violet along. Wonka grins.
Come on. Let's boogie. Without the boat, we'll have to move double time just to keep on schedule. There's far too much to see.
Mr. Wonka?
Yeah?
Why did you decide to let people in?
Well, so they could see the factory, of course.
But why now? And why only five? What's the special prize and who gets it?
The best kind of prize is a surprise.
Will Violet always be a blueberry?
No, maybe. I don't know. But that's what you get from chewing gum all day. It's just disgusting.
If you hate gum so much, why do you make it?
Once again, you really shouldn't mumble because it's kind of starting to bum me out.
Can you remember the first candy you ever ate?
Wonka stops walking with a faraway look in his eye.
No.
In fact, Willy Wonka did remember the first candy he ever ate.
Little Willy has a huge head brace on which keeps his lips pulled away from the silver braces on his teeth. He's cleaning out his father's fire grate when he finds a round chocolate sweet in a foil wrapper amongst the ash. Glancing quickly over his shoulder, little Willy unwraps it and manoeuvres it past the metal head brace to pop it into his mouth. He closes his eyes and licks his lips and the image goes wobbly as he chews. Now little Willy sits on some stone steps sampling a sweet from a box of chocolates. He makes notes in a small pad. Great, nutty texture, very nice, rich aftertaste. Still wearing his head brace, little Willy gets three coloured gobstoppers from three vending machines and holds two up as if they were eyeballs. Now Willy stands outside a sweet shop, watching a shop assistant stretching out pink taffy.
I'm sorry, I was having a flashback.
I see.
These flashbacks happen often?
Increasingly. Today.
They come to a circular door labelled Nut Sorting Room. Mr. Salt gives Wonka his business card, which Wonka throws away.
Ah, this is a room I know all about. For you see, Mr. Wonka, I myself am in the nut business. Are you using the Habermax 4000 to do your sorting?
No. You're really weird.
Wonka opens the door and they go onto a viewing balcony with a barred front gate. There are squirrels at workbenches that run around the room in a circle. Overhead, a network of tubes deliver fresh nuts to each squirrel. The squirrels have their backs to the circular floor, which is painted in swirly blue and white, with a shoot hole in the middle of it.
Squirrels!
Yeah, squirrels. These squirrels are specially trained to get the nuts out of shells.
The grey squirrels are busy shelling walnuts, holding the nuts in their two front paws and working at the shell with their teeth. They then place the shelled nut into a white plastic channel in front of them, and it rolls away.
Why use squirrels? Why not use Oompa Loompas?
Because only squirrels can get the whole walnut out almost every single time.
You see how they tap each one with their little knuckles to make sure it's not bad? Oh, look, look. I think that one's got a bad nut.
The nut's thrown down the chute.
Daddy, I want a squirrel. Get me one of those squirrels. I want one.
Ruka, dear, you have many marvellous pets.
All I've got at home is one pony and two dogs and four cats and six bunny rabbits and two parakeets and three canaries and a green parrot and a turtle and a silly old hamster. I want a squirrel!
All right, pet. Daddy will get you a squirrel just as soon as he possibly can.
But I don't want any old squirrel. I want a trained squirrel.
Very well. Mr. Wonka, how much do you want for one of these squirrels? Name your price.
Veruca beams.
They're not for sale. She can't have one.
Veruca's smile is replaced by a sullen frown.
Daddy!
Wonka replies in Mr. Salt's voice.
I'm sorry, darling. Mr. Wonka's being unreasonable.
Mr. Salt's surprised.
If you won't get me a squirrel, I'll get one myself.
Veruca ducks through the barred gate and goes down two metal staircases onto the main floor.
Veruca!
Little girl?
She strides across the blue and white floor.
Veruca, come back here at once.
She ignores him.
Veruca!
The bushy-tailed squirrels are perched on stools at their benches with their furry backs to Veruca. One of them notices Veruca approaching, and they all turn round for a look.
Well, girl, don't touch that squirrel's nuts. It'll make him crazy.
Veruca, who's wearing a pretty pale pink dress and a fur coat, marches determinedly towards a squirrel on the end of the workbench, which turns and stares at her. The other squirrels watch beadily, whiskers twitching. Veruca leans closer to the squirrel and holds out her hands.
I'll have you.
The squirrel leaps off its stool, followed by the others, who run at her.
Veruca!
Mr. Salt rattles the locked gate and turns to Wonka, who pulls out a giant keyring with dozens of keys on it.
Veruca!
The squirrels fling themselves at Veruca, clinging to her head and body. She staggers back and falls onto the floor.
Veruca!
Wonka tries various keys.
Find the key. Oh, not that one. No!
Mr. Salt stares hard at Wonka, who stops smiling and tries another key. The squirrels are swarming all over Veruca's body. Her eyes widen in alarm as they surround her and pin her limbs to the floor.
There it is. There it isn't.
Daddy, I want them to stop!
Mr. Salt watches helplessly from behind the gate as a squirrel sits on Veruca's chest. He knocks on her head and cocks an ear.
They're testing to see if she's a bad nut. Oh, my goodness. She is a bad nut after all.
The squirrels drag Veruca across the floor.
Veruca!
Where are they taking her? Where all the other bad nuts go? To the garbage chute.
Where does the chute go?
To the incinerator. But don't worry, we only light it on Tuesdays.
Today is Tuesday.
Well, there's always the chance they decided not to light it today.
Veruca claws at the floor with her fingernails as she's dragged towards the chute. She's pushed down the chute. The squirrels scurry to their workbenches and jump back on their stools.
Now, she may be stuck in the chute just below the top. If that's the case, all you have to do is just reach in and pull her out. Okay?
There's a key in the gate. Wonka turns it, and it unlocks the gate. He opens it slowly for Mr. Salt, who steps nervously through it and climbs down the first metal staircase. Oompa Loompas appear through small side doors and walk out onto the blue and white swirly painted floor. The identical-looking little folk are all wearing yellow jumpsuits with black and white striped gloves and socks, their black hair swept back into a top knot. They form a circle around the chute and dance.
Veruca Salt, the little brute, has just gone down the garbage chute, and she will meet as she descends a rather different set of friends. A rather different set of friends. A rather different
this morning from a alibi.
It goes into the chute.
An oyster stew, a steak that no one else would chew. And lots of other things as well. Which one that's rather horrid smell.
The synchronized routine involves holding their noses and wafting the air as they wiggle up and down. Mr. Salt glances nervously over his shoulder as he goes down the second metal staircase onto the swirly blue and white floor. The Oompa Loompas are on their knees. They get up and skip around him as he walks over to the chute. Wonka watches keenly.
Who went and spoiled her? Who indeed? Who pandered to her every need?
Who turned her into such a brat?
Who are the culprits?
Who did that?
The guilty ones. Now this is sad. Dear old mum and loving dad.
Ah!
Wonka giggles as a squirrel pushes Mr. Salt down the chute. An Oompa Loompa tugs at the hem of Wonka's red jacket and he kneels down so the little guy can whisper.
Really? How good. I've just been informed that the incinerator's broken, so there should be about 3 weeks of rotten garbage to break their fall.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. Well, let's keep on trucking. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. The elevator's by far the most efficient way to get around the factory.
There can't be this many floors.
How do you know, Mr. Smarty Pants? And this isn't just an ordinary up-and-down elevator, by the way. This elevator can go sideways, long ways, slant ways, and any other ways you can think of. You just press any button, and whoosh, you're off!
He presses a button, and the glass elevator lurches sideways, plummets down for a bit, and then travels sideways again along some overhead rails. They pass a snow-covered mountain peak.
Oh, look! Look! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fudge Mountain!
Oompa Loompas in red jumpsuits are up the face of the mountain, chipping away chunks of fudge. They wave at the passing glass elevator. Wonka waves back. The elevator moves into a neon-lit tunnel and then through a room where Oompa Loompas in acid green jumpsuits are shearing some very woolly pink sheep.
Oh!
They all look at Wonka, who suddenly seems faintly embarrassed.
I'd rather not talk about this one.
The Oompa Loompas store the fleeces in big glass jars. The elevator moves into a white hospital ward, and its occupants gaze down below them as they pass above rows of beds.
This is the puppet hospital and burn center.
An Oompa Loompa wheels one of the animatronic figures along.
It's relatively new.
The elevator stops suddenly, jolting its occupants, and then plummets down to an office floor.
Ah, the administration offices. Hello, Doris.
It's an Oompa Loompa in a dress at a desk. The elevator travels backwards at speed through a tunnel in the wall marked Danger, then plummets down, travelling along vertical rails and passing lots of round bullseyes. An Oompa Loompa controls a big automatic gun and blasts at the targets, making sparks like fireworks. Another Oompa Loompa loads a cannon-like gun with a giant round red and white sweet. The gun is aimed and fired at another target, just missing the elevator. Mike gazes out at the fireworks.
Why is everything here completely pointless?
Candy doesn't have to have a point. That's why it's candy.
It's stupid!
Candy is a waste of time.
Wonka remembers his dad.
No son of mine is going to be a chocolatier.
Then I'll run away. To Switzerland. Bavaria. The candy capitals of the world.
Go ahead. But I won't be here when you come back.
Dr. Wonka's in his white dentist's overalls and holding latex gloves. He watches Little Willy grab his rucksack and leave the house. Little Willy walks away from his mid-terrace family home. Wearing his head brace, Little Willy strides heroically past fluttering flags from many different nations. He emerges from a room labelled Flags of the World, and a museum guard grabs him by the shoulder.
Sorry, son. We're closing for the night.
Willy gazes around at the empty museum hallway. He gets back home to the row of terraced houses and finds there's just a gap where his family home once stood, as if a bomb had dropped while he were away, eradicating it completely. Lightning flashes as Willy's rucksack slides off his shoulder onto the ground. The flashback ends and Willy Wonka gazes ahead as the elevator continues to plummet through the factory.
I want a bigger room.
A smile creeps across Wonka's face.
Go ahead.
There are buttons all over the glass walls. Mike presses one that's labelled Television Room. The occupants of the elevator are thrown against the glass walls as it stops and then hurtles sideways towards a cluster of space-age buildings. Wonka leads them into a bright white room. Oompa Loompas wear big round white goggles.
Here, put these on quick and don't take them off whatever you do. This light could burn your eyeballs right out of your skulls. And we certainly don't want that, now do we?
They all don the tinted white plastic goggles.
This is the testing room for my very latest and greatest invention. Television chocolate. One day it occurred to me, hey, if television can break up a photograph into millions and millions of tiny little pieces and send it whizzing through the air, then reassemble it on the other end, why can't I do the same thing with chocolate? Why can't I send a real bar of chocolate through the television all ready to be eaten?
An Oompa Loompa's watching Oprah on TV.
Sounds impossible.
It is impossible. You don't understand anything about science. First off, there's a difference between waves and particles. Duh! Second, the amount of power it would take to convert energy into matter would be like 9 atomic bombs.
Mumbler! Seriously, I cannot understand a single word you're saying.
Wonka gazes at Mike.
Okie dokie. I shall now send a bar of chocolate from one end of the room to the other by television. Bring in the chocolate!
Six Oompa Loompas wearing white plastic jumpsuits carry a gigantic bar of chocolate in. Wonka and the others are standing in a white control station with three Oompa Loompas who can just about peep over the control panel.
It's got to be real big, because you know how on TV you can film a regular-sized man and he comes out looking this tall? Same basic principle.
He presses a big red button and the chocolate bar floats up so it's hanging vertically inside a clear tube, which, controlled by Oompa Loompas at sets of levers, rises slowly up into the air. A panel of bright lights come on and an Oompa Loompa sitting at a huge white camera gets into position. The camera's switched on, and there's a flash of bright, white light.
It's gone!
Told ya. Now that bar of chocolate is now rushing through the air above our heads in a million tiny little pieces. Come over here. Come on!
They hurry over to a white spherical TV set, which has a 3D landscape inside.
Watch the screen!
Apes in a rocky landscape encounter a strange rectangular object.
Here it comes. Well, look.
This Kubrick-style scene is disturbed by the object turning into a Wonka bar.
Take it.
It's just a picture on a screen.
Scaredy cat. You take it. Go on. Just reach out and grab it.
The Oompa Loompa viewer on a squashy white seat watches closely as Charlie gathers his courage and reaches for the TV screen. The apes jump up and down as Charlie reaches into the scene, grabs the chocolate, and pulls it out.
Holy buckets.
Eat it. Go on. It'll be delicious. It's the same bar, it's just gotten a little smaller on the journey, that's all.
Charlie unwraps the bar and bites off a corner.
It's great.
It's a miracle.
So imagine, you're sitting at home watching television, and suddenly a commercial will flash onto the screen, and a voice will say, Wonka's chocolates are the best in the world. If you don't believe us, try one for yourself. And you simply reach out and take it. How about that?
So can you send other things? Say, like, breakfast cereal?
Do you have any idea what breakfast cereal's made of? It's those little curly wooden shavings you find in pencil sharpeners.
But could you send it by television if you wanted to?
Of course I could.
What about people?
Well, why would I want to send a person? They don't taste very good at all.
Don't you realize what you've invented? It's a teleporter. It's the most important invention in the history of the world. And all you think about is chocolate.
Calm down, Mike. I think Mr. Wonka knows what he's talking about.
No, he doesn't. He has no idea. You think he's a genius, but he's an idiot. But I'm not.
Mike runs off, smacking two Oompa Loompas out of his way.
Hey, little boy. Don't push my button.
Oompa Loompas duck out of the way as Mike leaps into the control station and presses the red button. The bank of bright lights comes on as Mike leaps onto the rising platform. His feet lift off the ground and he floats up into the clear giant tube. Everyone's watching Mike, who throws kung fu shapes and some dance moves, then smiles and waves from inside the tube. The camera moves into position, and there's a blast of white light.
He's gone.
Let's go check the television, see what we get.
They peer into it.
I sure hope no part of him gets left behind.
What do you mean?
Well, sometimes only half the little pieces find their way through. If you had to choose only one half of your son, which one would it be?
What kind of a question is that?
No need to snap. Just a question.
Try every channel. I'm starting to feel a little anxious.
Oompa Loompas appear on every channel, along with a tiny little Mike.
There he is.
Mike!
The most important thing that we've ever learned. The most important thing we've learned as far as children are concerned is never to let them near.
Mike stands on a news desk as an Oompa Loompa reads the news. Now with an Oompa Loompa TV chef. Now in a bath as an Oompa Loompa climbs in and turns on the shower. A rocktastic band of Oompa Loompas perform on a TV music show, and in the TV room, the Oompa Loompas dance around Wonka and the gang. The hairy TV singer waggles his tongue.
It wants the senses in the head.
It keeps imagination dead.
It clogs and clatters up the mind.
It makes the child so dull and blind.
So dull, so dull.
You can no longer understand
a fairy tale of fairyland.
A fairyland, a fairyland.
His brain becomes as soft as cheese.
His thinking powers must decrease.
Cannot think beyond his sin.
Tiny Mike is tossed into the air with the drummer's sticks. He lands where a colourful Beatlesque Oompa Loompa band are playing.
Guarding little Mike TV.
Tiny Mike is attacked by a psycho-like Oompa Loompa in the shower and flipped into the TV chef's frying pan.
Ew, somebody grab him.
Mr. TV reaches in and grabs his son, who's 3 inches tall.
Oh, thank heavens, he's completely unharmed.
Unharmed? What are you talking about?
Mike lies in his father's palm.
There is no other way. It's television, not telephone. It's quite a difference.
And what exactly do you propose to do about it?
I don't know. But young men are extremely springy. They stretch like mad. Let's go put him in the taffy puller.
Taffy puller?
Hey, that was my idea. Boy, is he gonna be skinny. Yeah. Taffy puller. I want you to take Mr. TV and his little boy up to the taffy puller, okay? Stretch him out.
An Oompa Loompa tugs at Mr. TV's trouser leg. Wonka flinches as Mike's carried past.
On with the tour.
The Oompa Loompas at the control station kill the bright lights, and other Oompa Loompas at control positions around the room leave their seats. Wonka heads for the door.
There's still so much left to see. Now, how many children are left?
They remove their goggles.
Mr. Wonka, Charlie's the only one left now.
You mean you're the only one?
Yes.
What happened to the others?
Wonka gives a pearly white smile and shakes Charlie's hand.
Oh, my dear boy, that means you've won!
Oh, I do congratulate you, I really do. I'm absolutely delighted. I had a hunch, you know, right from the beginning. Well done. Now, we mustn't dilly or dally.
because we have an enormous number of things to do before the day's out. But luckily for us, we have the great glass elevator to speed things along.
He walks into the glass elevator and falls onto the floor. Charlie and Grandpa exchange a look. He gets up.
Speed things along.
He presses the door button.
Come on.
They get into the elevator and drop their goggles into a bin. Wonka selects a button labelled Up and Out.
Up and out? What kind of room is that?
Hold on.
Charlie smiles excitedly. The elevator accelerates at speed along vertical rails, going up the big factory chimney.
Oh my goodness. We're going to need to go much faster, otherwise we'll just never break through.
Break through what?
I've been longing to press that button for years. Well, here we go. Up and out!
What do you really mean?
Yeah, I do.
But it's made of glass. It'll smash into a million pieces.
They near the top of the chimney tower. The elevator smashes through a grill at the top of the chimney and hurtles up into the clouds. They all look up into the sky, then down at their feet as the elevator starts to plummet back down towards the factory. Charlie and Grandpa Joe gaze anxiously at Wonka, who smiles strangely at them and presses another button. Jets fire up on top of the elevator, which stabilizes. Down below, a chocolate-covered Augustus leaves the factory with his mum.
Augustus, please don't eat your fingers.
But I taste so good.
Mrs. Beauregard and Violet are the next to come out of the factory. Violet is thin, flexible, and blue all over. She backflips down the steps, then holding a bridge position, she looks up at her mum.
Look, Mother, I'm much more flexible now.
Yes, but you're blue.
Mrs. Beauregard walks on and Violet cartwheels after her through the snow. Next out are Veruca Salt and her father, who are both covered in rotting rubbish. They walk angrily down the steps. Mr. TV appears at the doorway. He's holding Mike's jacket and gazes helplessly behind him. The glass elevator swoops in over the factory yard. Veruca spots it.
Daddy, I want a flying glass elevator.
Veruca, the only thing you're getting today is a bath, and that's fine.
But I want it!
Mr. Salt silences her with a hard stare. Mr. TV walks across the yard with his stretched-out son, Mike, who's now twice as tall as his dad and thin as paper. They head towards the crowds outside the gates. Charlie, Wonka and Grandpa Joe hover over the scene in the elevator.
Where do you live?
Right over there. That little house.
At home, Mrs. Bucket is chopping cabbages to make soup.
When do you think they'll be back?
Hard to know, dear.
Mrs. Bucket starts as the elevator comes crashing through the roof. Dust and debris fall as it settles down near the table. Grandma Georgina wakes up.
I think there's someone at the door.
Hi, Mum!
Wonka waves as the elevator doors open.
Mum, Dad, we're back!
Charlie!
Charlie runs to his parents and his mum hugs him. Grandpa Joe gives her a kiss.
This is Willy Wonka. He gave us a ride home.
You see that?
You must be the boy's...
parents?
Yeah, that.
He says Charlie's won something.
Not just some something. The most something something of any something that's ever been. I'm gonna give this little boy my entire factory.
He peers into a cupboard.
You must be joking.
No, really, it's true. Because you see, a few months ago I was having my semi-annual haircut... and I had the strangest revelation.
A barber's pole turns in a room at the factory. Wonka's sitting in a chair getting his sleek bobbed hair trimmed by an Oompa Loompa up a ladder. Wonka's gazing at his haircut in a mirror when he spots a white hair on his shoulder and picks it up.
In that one silver hair, I saw reflected my life's work. My factory, my beloved Oompa Loompas. Who would watch over them after I was gone? I realized in that moment...
I must find a hair.
And I did, Charlie. You.
He spots the old folks.
That's why you sent out the golden ticket.
Uh-huh.
What are Oompa Loompas?
I invited 5 children to the factory, and the one who was the least rotten would be the winner.
That's you, Charlie.
So what do you say? Are you ready to leave all this behind and come live with me at the factory?
Sure, of course. I mean, it's all right if my family come too.
Oh, my dear boy, of course they can't. You can't run a chocolate factory with a family hanging over you like an old dead goose.
No offense?
None taken, Jet.
A chocolatier has to run free and solo. He has to follow his dreams. Gosh darn the consequences. A look at me. I had no family, and I'm a giant success.
So if I go with you to the factory, I won't ever see my family again.
Yeah. Consider that a bonus.
Then I'm not going. I wouldn't give up my family for anything. Not for all the chocolate in the world.
Oh, I see. That's weird. There's other candy, too, besides chocolate.
I'm sorry, Mr. Walker. I'm staying here.
Wow. Well, that's just unexpected and weird.
The Bucket family regard him.
But I suppose in that case, I'll just... Goodbye, then.
He goes to press an elevator button, then stops.
Sure you won't change your mind?
I'm sure.
Wonka's pale face wears a deeply troubled expression. He gazes wonderingly at Charlie, and then raises his eyebrows.
Okay. Bye.
Wonka gazes down at the floor as the doors close, the jet fires, and the elevator lifts up and away. Mrs. Bucket puts a comforting hand on Charlie's shoulder. Charlie gazes sadly at the floor. Grandma Georgina smiles.
Things are going to get much better.
And for once, Grandma Georgina knew exactly what she was talking about. The next morning, Charlie helped his parents fix a hole in the roof. Grandpa Joe spent the whole day out of bed. He didn't feel tired at all. Charlie's father got a better job at the toothpaste factory, repairing the machine that had replaced him.
There's food on the table at home.
Things had never been better for the Bucket family. The same could not be said for Willy Wonka.
I can't put my finger on it. Candy's always been the only thing I was ever certain of, and now I'm just not certain at all. I don't know which flavors to make. I don't know which ideas to try. I'm second-guessing myself, which is nuts. I've always made whatever candy I felt like, and I...
An Oompa Loompa psychiatrist makes notes as Wonka sits up on the couch.
That's just it, isn't it? I make the candy I feel like, but now I feel terrible, so the candy's terrible. You're very good.
The Oompa Loompa nods wisely. On an icy street, Charlie has set up a shoeshine stall. He polishes the boots of a man whose face is hidden behind his newspaper.
Pity about that chocolate fellow, Walter.
Willy Wonka.
That's the one. It says here in the papers his new candies aren't selling very well. But I suppose maybe he's just a rotten egg who deserves it. Oh, really? You ever met him?
I did. I thought he was great at first. But then he didn't turn out so nice. He also has a funny haircut.
I do not.
It's Wonka.
Why are you here?
I don't feel so hot. What makes you feel better when you feel terrible?
My family.
Ooh.
Wonka looks grossed out and Charlie stands.
What do you have against my family?
It's not just your family. It's the whole idea of...
He tries to say the word, but looks like he might be sick.
You know, they're always telling you what to do, what not to do, and it's not conducive to a creative atmosphere.
Usually they're just trying to protect you because they love you. If you don't believe me, you should ask.
Ask who? My father? No way. At least not by myself.
You want me to go with you?
Wonka grins.
Hey, what a good idea. Yeah!
Wonka walks off, looking back at Charlie.
And you know what? I got transportation.
He slams into the door of the glass elevator and falls over.
To be more careful where I park this thing.
Wonka presses a button, the doors slide open, and he and Charlie step inside. The jets on top of the elevator angle themselves towards the ground and blast off, lifting the elevator into the air. They touch down on a snowy landscape, with Wonka's old childhood home nearby. The house stands alone, as though it's been chopped out of its terrace and set down on the snow. Wonka, who wears round goggle-like dark glasses, steps out of the elevator with Charlie and they walk towards the house, heading up steps to the front door.
I think we've got the wrong house.
The plaque reads Dr. Wilbur Wonka, DDS, dental practitioner. Wonka looks down nervously as Charlie presses the buzzer. The tall, grey-bearded Dr. Wonka answers the door and looks down at them.
Do you have an appointment?
No, but he's overdue.
Wonka's dropped backwards in a dentist's chair.
Open.
Dr. Wonka looks in his mouth.
Oh, let's see what the damage is, shall we?
Dr. Wonka examines Willy Wonka's teeth using a metal prong and a small mirror. Charlie looks around the offices and notices a wall covered by framed newspaper clippings. One shows the chocolate factory with the headline, "Opening of the World's Largest Factory." Nearby stands a framed photograph of little Willy without his head brace. A scrapbook has more clippings inside it. Wonka opens candy store in town centre. Wonka boosts local economy. Factory opened. In the chair, Willy Wonka nervously holds his mouth open as Dr. Wonka examines his teeth. Dr. Wonka seems a little taken aback.
Heavens, I haven't seen bicuspids like these since...
Charlie glances back at them.
Since...
Dr. Wonka's eyes widen and he takes the dental tools out of Willy Wonka's mouth. Dr. Wonka stares down at his son's face.
Willy?
Hi, Dad.
Almost trembling with surprise, the lean, white-coated Dr. Wonka puts the tools down on a trolley beside his son, who sits up to face him.
All these years, and you haven't flossed.
Wonka shakes his head.
Not once.
Wonka looks up at his father, who smiles at him warmly. Dr. Wonka nervously reaches out a latex-gloved hand to touch his son. They both look a little awkward as Dr. Wonka gently puts his arms around his son and holds him. Willy Wonka rests his cheek against his father's chest and stares timidly into space. Charlie watches them with a smile. It's a snowy night as the Bucket family sit at the dinner table.
It was on this day that Willy Wonka repeated his offer to Charlie, who accepted on one condition.
Sorry we're late. We were brainstorming.
Good day, Xander.
You stay for dinner, Willy.
Yes, please. I'll shuffle the plates.
A large meal is laid out on the table as Wonka takes a seat between Grandma's Georgina and Josephine. Grandma Georgina smiles at him.
You smell like peanuts. I love peanuts.
Oh, thank you.
You smell like old people and soap.
He grins at her.
I like it.
She throws her arms around him. Grandma Josephine looks over at Charlie.
Elbows off the table, Charlie.
How do you feel about little raspberry kites?
With licorice instead of string.
Boys, no business at the dinner table.
Sorry, Mom.
I think you're onto something now, Charlie.
Charlie nods and smiles at Wonka while Mr. Bucket carves the roast chicken. The inside of the Bucket's house is lit by a cozy glow, while outside, snow falls against the window.
In the end, Charlie Bucket won a chocolate factory.
The house is inside the factory.
But Willy Wonka got something even better. A family.
Icing sugar snow sprinkles on the house.
And one thing was absolutely certain. Life had never been sweeter.
The narrator is an Oompa Loompa who wears a white polo-necked shirt and a smart blazer. He sits on the Candy Riverbank with the Bucket's house behind him. ITFC audio description by Lonnie Evans and Alan Blyton, read by Lonnie Evans. Directed by Tim Burton. Screenplay by John August. Produced by Richard D. Zanuck, Brad Gray. Executive producers Patrick McCormick, Felicity Dahl, Michael Siegel, Graham Burke, Bruce Berman. Director of Photography, Philippe Rousselot, AFC, ASC. Production designed by Alex McDowell. Edited by Chris Labenzon, ACE. Costume designer, Gabriella Pascucci. co-producer Catalie Frauenfelder. Music by Danny Elfman. Visual effects supervisor Nick Davis. Casting by Susie Figgis. Unit production manager Nick Corder, Patrick McCormick. First assistant director Catalie Frauenfelder. Second assistant directors Toby Hefferman, Ben Dixon. Music by Danny Elfman. Lyrics by Roald Dahl. Oompa Loompa vocals performed by Danny Elfman. Cast: Willy Wonka, Johnny Depp, Charlie Bucket, Freddie Highmore, Grandpa Joe, David Kelly, Mrs. Bucket, Helena Bonham Carter, Mr. Bucket, Noah Taylor, Mrs. Beauregard, Missy Pyle, Mr. Salt, James Fox, Oompa Loompa, Deep Roy, Dr. Wonka, Christopher Lee, Mr. TV, Adam Godley, Mrs. Gloop, Francisca Trogner, Violet Beauregard, Anna Sophia Robb, Veruca Salt, Julia Winter, Mike TV, Jordan Fry, Augustus Gloop, Philip Vigratz, Little Willy Wonka, Blair Dunlop, Grandma Georgina, Liz Smith, Grandma Josephine, Eileen Essel, Grandpa George, David Morris, Prince Pondicherry, Nitin Ganatra, Princess Pondicherry, Shelley Conn. Prodnose, Chris Cresswell, Slugworth, Phil Filmar, Finkelgruber, Tony Kerwood, TV reporter, Todd Boyce, Moroccan market vendor, Naif Rashid, Moroccan market trader, Menis Yusri, Mr. Gloop, Harry Taylor, German reporter, Hubertus Geller, Mrs. Salt, Francesca Hunt, Denver reporter, Garrick Hagen, Men with Dogs, Kevin Eldon, Mark Heap. Toolman, Roger Frost, shopkeeper, Oscar James, customer in shop, Colette Appleby, woman in shop, Deborah Weston, jolly woman, Annette Badland, museum guard, Stephen Hopewin, narrator, Jeffrey Holder. Associate producer, Derek Frey, visual effects producer, Nikki Penny, special effects supervisor, Joss Williams, second unit director of photography, Jonathan Taylor, choreographer, Francesca Janes, makeup and hair design, Peter Owen, animatronics and prosthetics creative supervisor, Neil Scanlon. Set decorator, Peter Young. Assistant set decorators, Michael King, Harriet Orman, Lee Sandales. Supervising art director, Leslie Tompkins. Senior art director, Kevin Phipps. Art directors, David Alday, Matthew Gray, Sean Hayworth, James Lewis, Andrew Nicholson, Francois Audoy. Music produced by Danny Elfman. Soundtrack album on Warner Sunset Records. Mr. Quiet, written by Ravani Flood, Garner de Agua, Jesse Shatternick and Manuel Ignacio, performed by Technical Difficulties. Wonka's Welcome Song, music by Danny Elfman, lyrics by John August and Danny Elfman, vocals performed by Danny Elfman. Good Morning Starshine, written by Galt McDermott, James Rado and Jerome Ragney. Augustus Gloop, music by Danny Elfman, lyrics by Roald Dahl, vocals performed by Danny Elfman, featuring the Allen School Brass Ensemble. Violet Beauregard, music by Danny Elfman, lyrics by Roald Dahl, vocals performed by Danny Elfman. Veruca Salt, music by Danny Elfman, lyrics by Roald Dahl, vocals performed by Danny Elfman. Macarena, Bayside Boys Mix, written by Antonio Romero, Rafael Ruiz, Carlos Alberto de Yaza and Mike Trier, performed by Los Del Rio. Also sprach Zarathustra, written by Richard Strauss, performed by Wiener Philharmonica, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. Requiem for soprano, mezzo-soprano, two mixed choirs and orchestra, written by Giorgi Ligeti, performed by HR Symphony Orchestra, Frankfurt, conducted by Michael Gielen. Mike TV, music by Danny Elfman, lyrics by Roald Dahl, vocals performed by Danny Elfman. Filmed at Pinewood Studios, London, England. DTS Digital, SDDS, Dolby Digital. The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. AHA 00778. Colour by Deluxe, print by Technicolor. Lighting control provided by Light by Numbers. Lighting services supplied by AFM Lighting Limited. Filmed with Panavision cameras and lenses. Kodak Motion Picture Products. Fujifilm Motion Picture Products. Approved number 41837. Motion Picture Association of America. This motion picture, copyright 2005 Theobald Film Productions, LLP. Screenplay, copyright 2005 Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated. US, Canada, Bahamas and Bermuda. Copyright 2005 Village Roadshow Films, BVI Limited, all other territories. Original score, copyright 2005 Warner Barham Music, LLC. The Plan B logo, a Theobald Films Productions production, distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Company.